Good morning, church family. My name is Dan Elkins, and it is a great honor of my life that I am the high school and college pastor here at Fruit Cove Baptist Church. And it is a great privilege to stand before you and all of these high school graduates and open up God's word this morning. I'm thankful for our pastor giving me the opportunity to share this morning, Pastor Tim. I love you, and I'm thankful for you, and I'm thankful the way you lead and love our congregation. You know, I've known for a while now that I was going to be speaking this Sunday morning, and I was praying about what I felt like the Lord wanted me to share. Yes, to these graduates as they get ready to set off on a new adventure of life, these students, young adults at this point, but also to our entire congregation. You know, this group of students will never be in the same room again. If you think about it, there will be other gatherings over the summer, graduation parties. Some of them will be staying local for school or for work, and they will continue to be a part of our church on a weekly basis. Some of them are headed off to school or the military, but they still have connections here in North Florida, so they'll be coming to visit for holidays or maybe the next few summers. But in all the gatherings, there will always be a few that will be missing. There will be some that will be on vacation. There'll be some that just won't be able to gather together. And so that's what makes today's message so urgent in my mind, because this group of students will never stand before me again. And the word that God wants me to share with them, I feel like God wants to share with the whole congregation, that you never know when's the last time you're going to hear from the word of God. These students are going to scatter, and all of them we will continue to love and pray for as they set off on this next chapter of their lives. We will pray for them. We will encourage them. Just because they are living in another state or another city, we will continue to pray for them. But life's circumstances have allowed them to come to this point in their life at this time to stand before you as a congregation and be recognized for this great milestone in their life. And so it gives us perspective on today's message, and really for any message for that matter, that you just never know when it's going to be your last. You know, God's word is perfect. It is living and it is active, sharper than any two-edged sword. And I pray that each and every person who's in this room, each and every person who may watch this on the internet afterwards, the ones that may hear this on the radio, anyone that can hear my voice, I pray that God's word is exactly what you need to hear today. And seniors, I pray specifically for each one of you that this word is exactly what you need to hear as well. And so if you have a copy of God's word, I pray that you have it and you can turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, I titled this message, The Greatest Test of Your Life. Does anybody here remember the last test that they ever took in high school? I know maybe some up here in front might remember. That just happened recently, and it was a great feeling. For some of us, that was a little while ago. For some of us, that was longer than we like to think or admit. I don't remember the last test that I took in high school. I don't know if it was a math test or an English test. But I'm sure these seniors, if you wanted to talk to them afterwards, could tell you the feeling that they had when that last test was completed and they walked out of that room, that school, for the very last time. I don't remember the last test I took in college. 4 years at university, blood, sweat, and tears. But I don't remember. I don't remember what my last class was. I don't remember what the last assignment or the last test was. Maybe it's just too many years ago to remember. Maybe if I'd have thought about it a year or two later, I'd remember. But I do remember the last test assignment that I had to submit for my seminary master's degree. That just happened 3 years ago. It took me almost 13 years to complete my online education through Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. Lots of late nights studying Greek and Hebrew and church history and systematic theology. And I remember the moment where I was, what I was doing when I hit submit on that very last assignment and I was done. It was one of the greatest feelings in the world, even greater than a month or two later when I walked with my cap and gown and got my diploma. The feeling that it is completed, that the test is over, that I've done everything that I have needed or wanted to do, and it is completed. As a human being, there are some who see life as just one big test, with God as our professor. They think that they're constantly being judged by what they say, think, and do. And if they get more questions right or wrong, then at the end of life, they'll stand before their maker and find out if they passed the test or failed. Ultimately, God is our judge and our maker, and we all will stand before him one day. But the good news, the greatest news, is that someone has already taken the test on our behalf. Someone else has already scored a perfect score, and his name is Jesus. The answers have already been given. The grade has already been handed out. The greatest test of your life is not living a perfect life and getting all the questions right ourselves, but it is testing our faith to make sure that we are saved. Because if we have come by faith and reached out and taken this free gift of salvation, no matter what scores were before, during, or after, when God grades us, all he sees is the perfect score of his son when he died on the cross to pay the penalty for all our sins. However, just because we've put our faith in Christ, all our sins are forgiven, our eternity is secure, does not mean that we can just go out and live however we live. Those are the verses that Leah shared with us at the beginning of the service today. 1 Peter 2:9, that you are a chosen race or generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. God wants men, women, boys, and girls to come to a saving knowledge of him, to be rescued from sin and darkness, and to be radically saved. And from the moment of salvation, he is working in our lives to make us more and more like Jesus. Our prayer for these graduates is that as they leave this room today, never to be in one room all together again, that they are saved, that they know that they have a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and that day by day, no matter where they go, whether they go to Tallahassee or Gainesville or Oviedo, whether they go to Tampa or some other state, whether they stay here in Jacksonville, that they will become more and more like Jesus each and every day. But as one of your pastors, that's not just our prayer for these young adults that stand before me. That is my prayer for every single person in this room. That you've come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and that you're becoming more and more like Jesus each and every day. And that is what you find when you come to the final chapter of Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. If you don't know the background of these letters, Paul had been to the city of Corinth. It was a Greek city, very important city at that time. And he had gone there to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And many men and women, boys and girls, had been saved. He had lived there for a number of months, and then God called him to leave that city and go on to another city. But he had a love and a passion for those people in Corinth, just like so many of us in this room have a love and a passion for each and every one of these graduates. Paul wanted to see them excel in their life, but he wanted to see them become more and more like Jesus. And as he continued his second missionary journey into his third missionary journey, he began to get reports of those that he loved in Corinth and that they were not living a life that honored Christ. They were not in their life exemplifying the works of Christ in their life. And he wanted to see them do that. He wanted to see them grow to be like Christ. And so he writes a letter, that's the first Corinthian letter, that corrects them and answers some of them their questions. And that helps for a little while. But then he hears again that there's still more problems. There were false teachers that had come into the church at Corinth, and there had been a lot of disunity and disinformation and mistrust and blatant sin. It's bad, right? And so the Holy Spirit inspires Paul to write another letter, this letter that we have, 2 Corinthians, where he talks to them about how God is wanting to work in their life, and he gives a humble defense of the truth which he shared with them. And then we get to the final few words that Paul writes to these people whom he loves. And in some of your Bibles, it may say final warnings. And again, this morning, as this may be my last chance to speak God's word to every one of you, but especially these in front of me, we also have some final warnings for each and every one of us. This is what God's word says. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. It says, "This is the third time I am coming to you. Every charge must be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. I warned those who sinned before, and all the others, I warn them now while absent, as I did when present on my second visit, that if I come again, I will not spare them. Since you seek proof that Christ is speaking in me, he is not weak in dealing with you, but is powerful among you. For he was crucified in weakness, but lives by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but in dealing with you, we will live with him by the power of God." Verse 5, "Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves, or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test." God has given each of you graduates, he's given each of all of us, three things in these six verses that help us with the greatest test of our life. Three things in these six verses that help us become more and more like Jesus. That is accountability, that is authority, and that is authenticity. The first thing that we see in this passage is that, number one, we must allow accountability. Allow accountability. Allow yourself to be held accountable to God's word by men or women who first and foremost love God, but who also love you. Paul wasn't afraid to call someone out if they claimed to be a follower of Christ, but their life didn't match what their words were saying. But he did so in a biblical way. If we are going to be a congregation, if we are to be a people, God's chosen people, a royal priesthood that is to proclaim the marvelousness of God to a dark and evil generation, then we must, as God's people, allow others to speak into our lives to see things that we might not see. This is reminded of us in Jesus' own words in Matthew 18. Jesus' own words in Matthew 18 says, "If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you've gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses." Does that sound familiar to what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 13? "If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector." Did y'all hear that? Where does it say in here that I'm supposed to talk about the person that hurt me to other people before I go? This is how we're supposed to deal with sin, right? That we're supposed to go to our brother or our sister in private, one-on-one, and talk to them about their sin, right? Can you believe that? Do I need to read it again? Right? No, right? Paul says in 2 Corinthians 13, he says, "I'm coming, and I'm coming with the testimony of two or three witnesses." We're going to be dealing with some of this mess. Seniors, I know that I've only been your youth pastor for a couple of years, right? I know that for some of you, I'm closer with already than others. But I will say this to you, right? As your youth pastor, I feel a calling in my life, right? God has allowed me to be your youth pastor for a year, for 2 years. And I have a saying that if once a student is a student of mine, they're always a student of mine, right? I will always care about you. I will always pray for you. And I will always, to the best of my ability, call out sin that I might see in your life because I care about you. I care about your relationships. I care about your life. I care about your future. How else will we see the things in our life and confess them and continue to grow if we don't have other people speaking truth into our life and showing faults that we might not see in our life? None of us are perfect, right? And so the question is, who has access and freedom in your life, all of our lives, to point out things in our life that we need to correct? One of the greatest and worst inventions for a youth pastor is social media. right? I've actually been blessed to be a youth pastor for so long that I remember what it was like to be a youth pastor before social media. And it was wonderful. You showed up on Sunday and Wednesday, and these little lovely angelic children and teenagers that showed up in church that looked so perfect and innocent, you know, and loving and God-honoring, right? You just assumed, you know, that once they left the building, that's how they lived their life all the time. And I remember when MySpace, have y'all done research on MySpace? I remember when MySpace first was invented, and I've got lots of stories, right? I can tell you more later. But I remember as a youth pastor, my eyes were open to the truth, right? I began to see these students of mine, or these former students of mine, right? And the things that they said, and the things that they listened to, and the things that they, everything that, things that they ate, things that they wore, and their whole life was an open book. It still is today on social media, depending on what platform that they use and how much they're willing to share. It's one of the most difficult things as a youth pastor to watch students that you thought were really close to God, maybe they're not as close to God as you thought that they were. It's one of the hardest things, but it really is one of the greatest things, right? I mean, don't you want to know the truth, right? Isn't it better to go ahead and know the truth and deal with the truth than to live in some false reality? All of us need to be that way. It doesn't do any of us any good to live in a false reality where everyone thinks that we're perfect when we know that we're not. And no one else that really knows the Word of God knows that you're not perfect either, right? So that's why we need to have godly men and godly women in our life. Like Paul says, I'm coming, and we're gonna deal with this, right? I've come before, I'm coming again, I'm bringing two or three witnesses with me, and we're gonna deal with this sin. We're gonna deal with this mess. Why? Because Paul wanted a perfect Corinthian church. He knew that wasn't gonna ever happen until they met Jesus face to face. But he knew that what was best for them was to deal with sin in their life. Because what happens to sin when you don't deal with it? It grows, right? It grows. James 1:15 says, "Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death." Again, God doesn't expect us to be perfect, but he does expect his followers to deal with sin. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. That's why accountability is so important. To have people in your life who will point you to God's word. Seniors, I challenge you to find that in your life, no matter where you go from this point forward, whether you stay here in North Florida, whether you move to another city, get people in your life that you can be an open book with, and they have can help hold you accountable to the truths of God's word. Search for it, work for it, be open, open yourself up to that, because that's so important in your life. It's so important to have accountability and to look for that in your life. But it's not just being called out, it's also being willing to submit to God's authority. The first way that you become like Christ is that you look for accountability. The second way is that you submit to authority. You submit to authority. Submit your life to God's power through the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you. He says there in verse 3, he says, "Since you seek proof that Christ is speaking in me, he is not weak in dealing with you, but is powerful among you. For he was crucified in weakness, but lives by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but in dealing with you, we will live with him by the power of God." Over and over again, they talk about the power of God. The power of God living inside of us. That same power that raised Jesus from the dead gives you and I the ability to live the Christian life. It's not in our own power. It's not in our willpower. It's not trying harder. It is allowing the Holy Spirit's power, that dynamite power, to pulse through our veins and lead us and guide us in the ways that God would want us to go. And one of the greatest tests of a person's faith is when they're willing to give up control of their life and allow God to be in charge. God is the one that they listen to, not the world or their friends or social media. God is the one that they follow, not their heart or their feelings or their desires. They're willing to humble themselves and allow God to have his way with their life. They put their yes on their table, they sign a blank check to God, and they say, however you want to fill it out, I'm willing to do it. Again, I remember my cap and gown Sunday. I remember being with the other seniors in my class and taking a picture out in front of the church, and we had this big oak tree that we took a picture in front of. I remember sitting there in that stadium. My graduation was in Tampa, so it was at the University of South Florida's basketball. I remember sitting in that stadium, excited, right? Knew where I was going to college, thought I knew what I was going to do in my life, but I had no idea, right? Don't you remember that euphoria feeling of like thinking that you had life figured out and you thought that you knew where you were headed? Like that's them, right? They're right there, right? It's all good. High school's over. No matter whether they're going to trade school or big university or taking a gap year, or what, they're like, oh yeah. I had no idea. I had no idea that God was going to call me to be a youth pastor. I had no idea that I was going to be the high school and college pastor. I didn't even know Fruit Cup Baptist Church existed, right? But God did. You see that? God has great plans for you. God knows exactly where you're going to be 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now. God knows. And if you allow the power of the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you, God will lead you exactly where you need to be. I'm exactly where I need to be right now. And it's not because I'm smarter than anybody else to figure it out, right? It's because the Holy Spirit of God has led me each and every step of my life. That's not just true for these seniors. That's true for all of us, right? Does God know where you're going to be 5 years from now? Absolutely. Do you know? No. You can think you know, right? You can have it all spelled out. Retirement fund. How many more years to pay off the mortgage? How many more years I have to work? You may have it all figured out, but you don't know when life's going to change in an instant. But God does. So submit to his control in your life. Again, that's the test of faith, isn't it? The test of faith is that we're willing to live our lives not as our own, but as a vessel of the Lord, that we trust that the Lord has greater plans than we do. And so that's what Paul is saying here. He's saying here that let God do whatever he wants to do with you. Be his. That's what Paul's done. That's why he came to Corinth in the first place. And so Paul says, you want proof that Christ is speaking through me? Look at what he's done with you. It's not about who you have changed into. It's who Christ has changed you by his power in you. And that's the great battle that rages on in each one of our souls. Romans 7 says, for we don't do what we want to do, but we do the very things that we hate. Ephesians 4 says, put off the old and put on the new, created after the likeness of God and true righteousness. God's power by the Holy Spirit of God will work in your life. And you show that you submit to God's authority in your life by submitting yourself to the authorities that God places in your life here on earth. Seniors, it's one thing to say that you love God and you submit to his control in your life. It's another thing to show it by allowing the authorities that God has put over you to lead you as well. You have an overall faith in God that even if the authorities of this earth are not perfect, you're willing to obey them because God is the ultimately one that puts those authorities over you. When I think about authority on this earth, I think of the four P's. I think of parents, pastors, police, and politicians. None of them are perfect, right? Parents, pastors, police, and politicians. And yet the Bible tells us in Romans 13:1, he says, let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. Says it in Hebrews 13 too. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority. 1 Peter 2:13 says, submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority. Doesn't mean that these authorities are perfect. Your pastors are not perfect. Your parents aren't perfect. The police aren't perfect. We know our politicians aren't perfect. But unless they're asking you to do something that directly goes against what God has said to do, then submit to them and let God be the judge. Students, congregation, doing those two things, Allowing accountability and submitting to authority will solve the vast majority of problems in your life. Young people, obeying your parents, even though you think you're already grown and an adult, right? Honoring them, listening to your pastors, whether here or whatever church you're involved in, obeying the laws of the land, right? And following the laws of the land. Those will solve the vast majority of problems in your life, now and in the future, unless, this is where we'll end today, unless there's a bigger problem than just unconfessed sin, unless there's a bigger issue than just some missteps. What's the root of the problem that you're gonna face in your life? The greatest test of your life isn't, do you have an accountability partner? It isn't, do you humble yourself to those in charge of you? The greatest test of your life is, do you have true saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Because if you do, then you will want to do those other two. But if you don't have true saving faith in Jesus Christ, then no amount of effort, right, will save you from the pain and the heartache that is to come. And so for every single person that can hear my voice, have you come to the point in your life when you've truly had your eyes open to the gravity of your disobedience to a holy God, that you realize that there's no amount of good works, there's no amount of willpower, there's no amount of trying that can save you, that it's only by the grace and mercy offered by the Lord Jesus Christ that'll save you? And have you turned away from your selfishness and pride and turned your life over to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? If so, you should know it. That's our last point for today. Paul comes to them and says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. The last thing that you see in this passage is to live your life for Christ. Not only do you need to allow accountability and submit to authority, but you need to test your authenticity. You've got to test the authenticity of your faith. Test yourself that you have true saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the greatest truths about our faith is that we can know it. Right? We can know it. Philippians 1:6, being confident in this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Some of you know that I just returned Thursday night from a trip to London, England. We spent a last weekend in the city of Rotten with Carl Porter, who was here a couple months ago, helping to plant a church. And then we went into the city and we witnessed to university students from all over the world that traveled to London to be educated. And as I was sitting in coffee shops and walking the streets of these campuses, standing on steps to the great entrance halls of these great world-renowned universities, I just had one-on-one conversations with 18 to 25-year-olds just walking around campus. I talked to a Muslim from Malaysia. I talked to a Hindu from Sri Lanka. I talked to an atheist from near Shanghai, China. I talked to someone who doesn't know what they believe from Detroit, Michigan. They were in London, going to university, studying abroad. And the thing that was consistent with all of them, right? Some of them had a belief system and some of them didn't. But no matter who they were, they didn't have any confidence in what it was that they believed in. They didn't know if it was true. They didn't know if what they were doing was good enough. All the world religions, that's what it's about, is will you do the right things that maybe one day you will experience eternity, or maybe one day you'll experience paradise. That's why Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And that if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you can know where you're gonna spend eternity. You can have assurance of your salvation. You can have faith that can save. Apart from Christ, you have no assurances. All the other roads lead to a dead end. No peace, no hope. But with Christ, you don't have to doubt. You don't have to wonder, right? Am I good enough? Because you aren't. I'll just burst your bubble right now. I'm not, you're not, right? But he is, he is. And that's what this passage is saying. And the rest of the Bible confirms this. You can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are saved. I don't know. I mean, I can guess based on fruit that I've seen in some of your life the last 2 years. I can guess that you have saving faith, but I don't know, right? But you do, you know, whether you have saving faith or not. And that's why Paul is saying to these Corinthians that he loves, he says, examine yourself. Know beyond a shadow of a doubt, right, that you know, that you know, that you know that you're saved. Just examine yourself to see that you are in the faith. Our country has become obsessed with getting it right. And one way that we see that is in the instant replay systems of all of our major sports leagues. You know, like seniors, you know, like 20 years ago or whatever, 30 years ago, there wasn't instant replay. You know, they had these like people called umpires, referees, and whatever they said went, whether they were right or wrong. And then at some point in our history as a country, we became obsessed with getting it right, right? Did that toe touch millimeters before the line or after the line, right? Did that baseball, did it cross over home plate by a millimeter or was it a millimeter off? And we have all these systems and cameras to make sure that we get it right. Tennis players, right? Before you just, the judge made the call. It was either in or out. Now it's these digital computer generated, see where the ball comes and hits the ground, right? Do you know though that the people that are in the game 9 times out of 10, 99 times out of 100, they already know before instant replay? Maybe the umpire, maybe the referee, maybe the judge, maybe they weren't close enough to see, but the players in the game, they almost always know, right, the truth. They know whether it was in or whether it was out. And I think you do too. I think you know whether you're in or whether you're out. And for some of you, you might be faking it. You might be pretending. Maybe you have your parents fooled. Maybe you have your pastors fooled. But you can't fool God. Some of you in this room, maybe you've been in church your whole entire life. But you know the truth. You know whether you have saving faith, whether the Holy Spirit of the living God is living inside of you or it doesn't. And if you don't, then why do you keep pretending? Paul says, examine yourself, test yourself. You do not realize this about yourself, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless you fail to meet the test. I hope that you will find out that we have not failed the test. That's the greatest test of your life. Wasn't that last calculus test that you finished? Wasn't that last English test or history test that you had to finish? The greatest test of your life, right, is do you have saving faith in Jesus Christ? One question, all or nothing, take it or leave it, do or die. Are you in the faith? Are you in the faith? If you are, then what this passage says is grow in your faith. Become more and more like Christ wherever you go. Allow accountability, submit to authority, especially a church with a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching pastor. But if you're not, whatever you do, don't leave this place without testing your faith. And if you find that it's empty, then jump in. Have faith in Jesus Christ. That's the test. Let's pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Here at Fruit Cove Baptist Church, we at the end of each service give an opportunity for you to respond. And for some of you in this room, the Holy Word of God has pierced into the inner being of your soul, and you have seen that there is something missing in your life. Maybe it's one of these seniors. Maybe it's somebody in the congregation. You see that you're missing true biblical accountability in your life. Maybe for some of you, you realize that you've been bucking authorities that have been put over you by a holy God, and God is calling you to show humility and to humble yourself and submit to the authorities that you have over you. But more important than either of those this morning to me as a pastor is that if there's any person, man or woman, boy or girl, high school graduate, or anybody else that does not have true saving faith in their life, then my challenge to you is the same that Paul had to the Corinthians. Examine yourself. Test yourself. And if you find that your faith is not real, if you've never come to the moment in your life where you've truly repented, turned away from your sin and your disobedience and given your life to God, then right here, right now in this room, you can do that. You can pray to an almighty God and confess to God your disobedience and say to him from this day forward that you want to live for him. You want to surrender your life to him. You don't know what the future holds, but you know that from this moment on, you're willing to follow Christ no matter what. If that's you, then right there where you sit, you pray and talk to God and confess that to him. Ask him to save you. In just a moment, I'm going to pray and we're going to have one last song. And I'm going to be right here down front. If there's anybody in this room that wants to give their life to Christ, if there's anyone in this room that needs accountability in their life, if there's anybody in this room that wants to join with this church or follow the Lord in baptism, I'm going to be right down here in the front. But more importantly than you telling me as a pastor of churches, what do you do when you talk to God? And do you have a faith that is willing, that is saving you right now? If not, then this test is for you today. Give your life to Christ. Father, we love you and we thank you for today. We thank you for these seniors, all that they've put into this point in their life to come to this point where they're about to set off on new adventures, new chapter in their life. Most importantly, as a church, dear Lord, we are committed that no matter how often we will see them from this day forward, we commit as a church to love them and to pray for them, just like Paul loved and prayed for the Corinthians. And we want them to get involved in a Bible-believing church and Christian organizations on their campus. We want to hear reports of them submitting to the authorities in their life and living lives for Christ. But most importantly than any of that, we want them and every person in this room to have a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And so, God, I pray right now, if there's any person in this room that doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, I pray that your Spirit will compel them to surrender their life to you today. God, thank you for the opportunity we have to be in this place today. May we honor you with our lives. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Will you stand and sing?